Om Shanti. The magic of blessings. Today is 19th of January 2018, Friday. The blessing is, may you be immortal with your love and cooperation and always have the title of an imperishable jewel. Avinashi Ratan. Those who are always loving and cooperative in the task of establishment receive the title of imperishable jewel. You are such imperishable jewel that no one can ever shake you and no obstruction can obstruct you. Only such imperishable jewels are blessed with the blessing of being immortal. They are real gold and the Father's companion. They consider the Father's task to be their own. They remain constantly with the Father and that is why they become imperishable. So today's blessing is, may you be amar, immortal, with your love and cooperation, always have the title of an imperishable jewel. So those who are loving, those who are imperishable jewels, what are their qualifications? They are loving and cooperative. They are real gold. They are Father's companion. They consider Father's task as their own task. They remain unhampered, unimpeded. Nothing can stop them. Nothing can obstruct them. So, what is the definition? They remain immortal. What is the definition of an imperishable jewel? Imperishable jewel is one who is 100% cooperative. Who is considering Father's tasks as his own task. A sense of responsibility has come over here. That's why this passion, this inner yearning, this urge to do everything for him, for one Father, makes him an imperishable jewel and makes him remain unobstructed throughout, nirvigna. So that is the sign of an imperishable jewel. When I was reading this blessing, I am reminded of great saint of Christianity, Saint Xavier. He was born in Spain in 1502. From his young ages, he got orphaned at the age of 9. Then he went to the University of Paris. There he studied and he had a strong desire to become professor, to preach. He had all the worldly ambitions and one day suddenly undergoes a change. In his room, there were three friends living together. Saint Francis, Xavier, and two others. One was Ignatius, and yet another. So that other person, Pierre, he got influenced by Ignatius. Ignatius was a person who was earlier a soldier, who got wounded, and then later on he became priest, and then he had come to the college. University of Paris, but he had all the divine and tendencies. He was always preaching about God, about Jesus. But Francis was least interested in theology, in listening anything about God. He was interested in worldly ambitions. He was interested in pursuing a worldly career. Though Ignatius used to influence him, but he never got influenced. Once it so happened that the third person, Pierre, he decided to become priest and one day he had gone on leave. So only these two people were left alone in room, Francis and Saint Ignatius. Ignatius was not yet saint, later on he became saint. These two friends, and Ignatius had talked with Francis and that one sentence influenced Francis so much that he decided to renounce the world. And the statement was straight from the Bible. It was saying, what it will profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul. This was one sentence. If you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, what is the use? And Francis keeps on thinking and thinking and that same sound of those words keeps echoing in his heart. And then he starts even listening to Saint Ignatius' classes Ignatius is sitting with the students and he's teaching them about God. So Francis also comes and gradually he accepts him as a teacher, and later on Ignatius, Francis, Pierre and four more, seven people ultimately come together and they take the vow of sannyas. They take the vow of chastity, brahmacharya and poverty. And they form a new church, a new society. That society was known as Society of Jesus, Jesuits. Ultimately they go to Pope. Pope tells them or gives them a mission that somebody has to go in India and preach Christianity. And this is how the missionary work started. Saint Francis Xavier was the first person probably, and then he came to India. It took him about 1.5 year ship journey. But why I'm telling you all this is, right from the time he had a faith that I have to devote my life to God's work, how dramatic changes he underwent. He distributed all his wealth to poor people. When he came to India, the first time he landed in India, 1542, Goa. If you go in Goa, you will find everywhere, and he constructed about 44 churches throughout India on the coast. So, look at his life. Right from the time he decided that I have to devote my life to God, he distributed all his wealth. He ate almost tasteless food. He slept just 3 to 4 hours at night. Whole day he was serving the poor. Whole day he was serving the prisoners. Whole day he was serving the sick, the lost, the lowest, the lowliest. When he came in India, he knew 5 languages. Latin, Spanish, Portugal, and 2 more. Total 5 languages. He was such an intelligent guy, such an intelligent person. If he had pursued that worldly career, he would have become something very at topmost. But he gave up all the positions. He gave up all the worldly ambitions. He gave up all the worldly aims and everything, worldly desires. And then he adopted a new life. When he came to Goa, everything was unknown to him. New language, new people. He started serving poor. He started serving poor. Even he was sent by Pope in the ship. He was given first class cabin to sit in the ship. But he offered his cabin to poor people. He was told to have his dinner in a special room. But he preferred to sit in the row of those poor people who were in the ship. He served and served and served. He served the sick people. He washed their wounds. He washed their clothes. In the hospital, he used to sleep by the side of the bed, so that if suppose patient gets up at night, somebody should be there to look after. If the patient needs something, somebody there should be there. He spent so much time in Goa, and then he started winning people. He used to carry a bell and move around as if he has come to awaken. He never forced anybody. He never asked anybody, give me something. His only task in life was to spread the message of Jesus everywhere, the whole earth. Every human being should know that he was the only begotten Son of God, and God had sent Jesus. So, whether he knows God or not, that is a different thing. What was his faith, whether he did religious conversions, that are different things. Some Hindus may be against him, but I am not talking about this. I am talking about his inner yearning, his desire, his passion, that he considered, this is my task, and for this I devote my life. He spent so many years in Goa. From there he went to Kerala. From there he went to Japan. He spent 2 years there. He came back. He had a desire to go to China also. But then he died at the age of 46. He was buried twice, and ultimately he is buried in Goa. His body is still there, 4,000 years back. And they display it for a few weeks even now. Incorruptible. He was canonized, given the degree of saint. So look at the life of this one saint of Christianity. He never did anything for his own self. Devoted his life right from the morning till now, night. He used to serve. He used to preach. He used to give the message. He used to sit on the top of this tree and give lectures from there, and thousands would hear him. Such a life of devotion. Baba is saying, imperishable jewels are those who think that Father's task is my task. They remain unimpeded. Many people, when he went in Japan, people were against him, against Christianity. They were persecution of Christianity. But still he persisted. Still he wanted to give that message. Because he had carried... There is a very beautiful statement in Bible, in Old Testament, Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. Leave your country. Leave your country. Leave your people. Leave your father's household. And go to the land I will show you. This is the service. All dadis, when they came in Mount Abu, they never wanted to go anywhere. They were unwilling to leave this place. Such a cozy, comfortable and spiritual life. Why anybody would leave? Why anybody would go to different places and seek, give messages? This is a statement in Bible. Leave your country. Go away from your country. Leave your people. Go away from your people. Go away from your father's household. To the land I will show you. I will show you the land, you go there. And Saint Francis did the same. Saint Xavier, he heard this statement, he read this statement, and he decided that I will go. Otherwise he was having a spiritual life there, but he preferred all the hardships of life. No man in the history of Christianity, I think, has traveled so much as Saint Francis Xavier traveled. On foot, that time, what was the transportation that time in 1950s? He went to Rome, he went to Italy, he went to Jerusalem, he went to Vatican. He went to Africa, start his journey from the Lisbon to Japan and so many different places. Just because he had one message to give to this world. Whatever he knew, he wanted that God's love should be there in everyone. So such a devotion, such a dedication. Even on the path of bhakti. And here, we have the greatest knowledge of Father. How much devotion, how much dedication, how much yearning, how much zeal, how much zest, how much enthusiasm we have to deliver this message. That not a single soul should be bereft of this knowledge. Every soul should become, he should claim his right to inheritance of Father. What I have achieved, let everyone achieve. Father's task is my task. And you have to do this task. Otherwise people will be left complaining. People will say that you have not done this. You have did not give the message. You got God's message but you didn't give us. No one can shake them. No obstruction can obstruct them. They have the blessing of being immortal. He was sick so many times, Saint Francis. But still he persisted. Many times because he used to serve those patients, those sick people whom nobody even attended. He used to go in the prisons and serve those people. They are loving and cooperative. Because he knew that this is not my task. This is because he knew that this is God's task. And I have to devote my life to it. He remained unmarried. He remained brahmachari. He remained pure. He remained in poverty. If he wanted, he could have lived in life of riches and luxuries. But what dress he wore. This was once he was traveling in a ship. His cross. Suddenly storm came and his cross fell down in the river, in the ocean, and it was turbulent, tempestuous storm going on, and he was just crying aloud, "Where is my cross? Oh Lord, please help me." But it was nowhere to be found. When he reached the coast and he was dejected, depressed, sitting there and talking with God, "Oh Lord," and suddenly what happens? A crab comes to the shore carrying that cross. Lot of miracles are even attributed to his life, to him. So that crab brings back that cross to him. From the huge ocean, just imagine. So, you are real gold, your father's companion. You consider father's task to be your own. This is the most beautiful statement of this blessing. Father's task is my task. Whatever his task is my task. They remain constantly with the Father, and that is why they are imperishable, immortal, incorruptible, indestructible. Om Shanti.